So welcome your friend to this intergenerational service. Welcome your friend. Look at the person seated by you and say, please, you're welcome. So let us begin and do the next four things. I gave you three things last week. I said God was with them, but they must walk along and do battle. Number two, I said hands were raised, but swords were working. Number three, I said the sea opened up, but people must walk through it. We are continuing today. And the working text or the head text is Exodus 4:21. Exodus 4:21. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform. See that you perform. Now that word, that's a pretty word. That is a word we are looking at. Perform. But God has given him a miracle. God is telling him, I am with you. But yet he's telling him, perform. Do it. Do it. See to it that you perform, which is the action God is asking Moses to engage in. He's unleashed, but he must act. He has acquired the certificate at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was where Moses encountered the Lord. So the certificate of divine encounter has been received. But Moses must go there and perform. Huh? See that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. So God has given you some knowledge, some ideas, some thought. You know that God has blessed you with something. The problem is, how do you transmit or translate what you have at a theoretical level, which is what you know, to actionable, measurable, you know, things or point. How do you do it? How do you do it? And this year, we are moving you from just theoretical messages to practical applications of the Word of God. That is why I want you to just be part of this masterclass. That you understand that it's not just speaking in tongues that is needed. The church will not be able to make any impact if we keep speaking in tongues. After speaking in tongues, the Bible said they went about preaching the message. In other words, action must always be the end result of whatever we have acquired. Action helps us to get to the next level. So you have acquired a certificate, you have a master's degree, you have a first degree, you have a PhD. We don't care about your PhDs. Whoever wants to hire you wants to know what you can do, not what you have. What you have only exists. It's a potential. It is what you can do that the person is looking for. But many of us are often much interested in what we have. If what you have is where you stand and all that you need, you have missed it. It's not what you have, but what you can do. Tell a friend, it's not what you have, but what you can do. So God was with them, but they must walk, must do battle. Number two, hands were raised. But souls were working. Number three, the sea opened up, but they must walk through it. Now let's add up to the next level. And the next one is in Exodus 3:8. Exodus 3:8. And then we'll be reading Exodus 16:35. Exodus 3:8. And Exodus 16:35. So Exodus 3:8 says, and I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, the seven clearly identified nations who occupied the place. God said, I'm giving their place to you because they were workers of iniquity. So I'm hijacking their lands and giving it to you. So that is where God is taking the people to. A land flowing with milk and honey. It doesn't mean that when you get to the place, that there's a place where milk is flowing and honey is flowing. No. That is symbolic of the fact that God is saying the land is fertile. The land, whenever you grow on it, it will support it. But the people must grow something on the land. So they are not going to the land and get to there and say, hey, a land flowing with milk and honey. Where are you? Where is the honey? Where is the milk? No. You will see something right now. Now, Exodus 16:35. Exodus 16:35. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. Come on, say, until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Until they reached the border of Canaan. And I want to read the last one. Let's go to Joshua 5:12. Joshua, the chapter number 5, verse 12. Joshua 5:12. Joshua 5:12. Now, Joshua 5:12 says that the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. So, what is the fourth thing that gives us a picture of the fact that God wants action and not just anything? Not just you talking. He wants action. The fourth point is that the people have gotten to the land that is flowing with milk and honey, but they must cultivate the land. They have gotten to the land that is flowing with milk and honey, but they must cultivate the land. Now, first and foremost, let us appreciate the background under which or the backdrop of manna. Manna simply means, what is this? It simply means, what is it? Now, in Exodus 16:2-3, the Bible said that they had gotten to the desert called Sin, S-I-N. And when they got to the place, God gave manna to a faithless generation. It was a generation that had no faith in God. So when they got to the land, which is the desert Sin, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, then we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Now, so they were faithless. And I want to show you about three or four ways that their faithlessness manifested itself. That is the background, from which manna was given. So number one, this was a generation that displayed their faithlessness by the way they react. There are many of us who react when we are faced with challenges. In fact, the Bible says in Exodus, the chapter number 14, 10 to 12, how did they react? First is that they react badly to challenges. Their faithlessness is measured by the way they react badly to challenges. And we are going to see the backdrop from which manna was given. First was that they were faithless. And their faithlessness is measured by the way they reacted. They reacted badly to challenges and they grumbled against their leaders. Now, they did not start this at this point from Exodus 16. In fact, they started it in Exodus 14, when the Bible said that Egyptian army was coming against them. So let's read Exodus 14, 10 and 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no grapes in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So you see, this is the first time they grumbled. And what they grumble against? They grumble because they saw a terrifying sight. They saw something that terrified them. Let me tell you, as you get unleashed and on the path to where God wants you to be, you are going to see terrifying things. You are going to see things that make your emotions come up. You are going to feel down. You are going to feel broken. You are going to feel depressed. You are going to feel anxious. But if you become a puppet to your anxiety, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. That is why God gave you a mind. The mind must control the emotions. Your mind must always subvert what you feel, because most of the time, what you feel is unreliable. When they saw, they were afraid. Moses told them, be still, be still, be still. That's why Psalm 41 says that, be still and know that I am the Lord. Be still. So, the first point of their faithlessness is that the sight of the Egyptians terrified them. Number two, they also reacted badly when there was scarcity of water. Exodus 15, 23. And I'm giving this systematic presentation so you see that the people actually were a faithless generation and they received manna, but they will not continue to eat manna forever. God wanted them to come to a certain level. They will not be receiving manna. I'll take you somewhere in this teaching in the next 5 minutes. So the second point is that, and the scarcity of water, they also grumbled. Exodus 15, 23 and 24. Exodus 15, 23 and 24. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses saying, what are we to drink? What are we to drink? What kind of generation is this? The slightest challenge, they grumble. Not only that, they also grumbled in the face of starvation on the desert of Sin. Exodus 16 verse 2. Exodus 16 verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So you are seeing how their faithlessness attracted God to give them manna. Follow me carefully. So first is their reactions. Reactions are a product of a certain encounter between you and something else. So you see, they reacted badly. That is the first reaction. I said it's a product of a certain encounter between you and an event. Well, so your reaction is always a product. But the consequence of a reaction is what happens. Well, it can be a fruit or it can be a bad thing for you. So the Israelis have a very bad reaction. Their temper is bad. So that's the first background to the release of manna. Again, we see that they also overrated the physical supplies. That is their deficit. Anytime they encountered problem, they lifted the problem over divine resources. For example, in the what we read in Exodus 12, they said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. I mean, look at it. If only we had died. The guys are quite interesting. If only we had died. I mean, what would they have done if they were still in Egypt as slaves? The reason is simple. They were focusing on their deficit and lifting their deficit beyond divine resources. How can you tell me that you'll be better off being an unbeliever? Now, you can say that. And many of us sometimes say that in our heart. I wish that I were an unbeliever so I can do some things. Really? You don't know the weight of the redemption upon your head. You haven't yet experienced that your redemption cost the life of God. You haven't yet appreciated that God died in the person of Jesus for you. No, I don't want to go back. Nothing will take me back. There is something that God gave to me. Nothing will take me back. No. Redemption, your soul cost God. But the people say, we wish I were in Egypt. We want to go to Egypt. Why? Now look at the third background that brought in manna. They preferred a certain freedom than what they have. They want choice foods. Their wilderness was a limitation to them. You see, listen to what they said. They said that there in Egypt, there we sat around pot of meat and ate all the food we wanted. They were looking for a choice. There is a choice that they wanted a certain kind of food. And that particular phrase, then we ate what we wanted, is a deep search for freedom. In the wilderness, there is some level of limitation placed on them. Why? Because they were now under the authority of God. In paganism, you can behave anyhow. They have lived under paganism for 430 years. Their attitudes are made. They are formed. One of these days, I will teach you about how some attitudes that you have been formed. And explain to you the difference between temperament, character, and personality. So your temperament is what you are born with. Those traits that you are born with. We are all born with temperament of all kinds. Your character comes out of both the temperament and the experiences that you experience, you go through. Your socialization, the way you are trained, the way you are raised, the experiences you went through, that is character. Character is in, is inside, is the state of your heart. But your personality is what you present to others, is what others see. So in the book of Samuel, when Samuel went to the house of Jesse to anoint, he saw a personality. He did not see a character. When he looked at, you know, Shammah and the others, and he saw there, that is personality. That is not character. God looks at character. He doesn't look at personality. And the people here do not have a character yet, because they have been, you know, in paganism for a long time. So it was against this backdrop that manna was given. God gave them manna against the backdrop of faithlessness, against the backdrop of paganistic expectations. They want to eat. They want to indulge themselves in anything. They want to drink. They want to enjoy themselves. They want to be in reverie. That is the background from which manna was given. The Bible describes manna as eating the food of angels. God hijacked the food of angels and cast it on earth and gave it to them. And yet when Jesus was talking in John 6, he said, your fathers ate manna on the wilderness and yet they died. Because you see, the background from which manna was given was rebellion. It was a background of faithlessness. It was a background of paganistic tendencies. Manna. And Jesus came in John 6 and said, I am the bread that came from heaven. Your fathers ate manna on the wilderness, yet they died. You can eat the food of angels. What will cause you to live is your character, not the fact that you are participating in the food of angels. No. So manna was given against this backdrop of rebellion, paganistic expectation, reverie. Then the Lord said, let them wake up in the morning. Let them go onto the field. They will see something like coriander seed. Let them take what is enough. Nobody should preserve any to the next day. Even that, they still mess up. Some will go and gather and then gather some for the next day. They wake up in the morning and the thing is rotten. Now, lift up your right hand. I'm going to hit a bullet right now to your spirit. I'd like you for just 30 seconds. Ask the Lord. Open my heart, my eyes to see the weight of your redemption than my pleasures. Now look at me. Look at me. Manna appeared to be coming from a guru that is sitting somewhere in the universe holding a magical wand. So give us food, and then he turns the wand and the manna falls. Listen carefully. The expectation of God for the believer is not to be socialized along the path of demand and supply. It's not demand and supply. You are already in God. And so you don't demand it. You are in God. That is what the Bible says, that
They that believe in this sign shall follow. You are already in God. You are not to be a demand and supply. So you are standing, I demand this, I demand that, I demand that. That is the mentality of manna. You demand it. But God wanted them to stop placing demands like that. God wanted them to understand that he has placed something inside of them. So when they got to the promised land, manna stopped. Why did manna stop? Two reasons. Number one is that God is teaching them a transition. God is telling them that when you have gotten to in your walk with me, I want to move you to the next step. And it is one of the things I've been teaching here, that you cannot stay at the same place. The stopping of manna is to announce to them, come to the next level. Turn to your friend and tell her, come to the next level. I can't hear you. One more time. How many of you have ever prayed and fasted on a particular answer and you have never received a particular prayer topic and never received an answer? Let me see. You prayed a particular topic, but you never received an answer. Let me see you. Oh, raise your hand. Let me see you. Now, tell that friend, say, welcome on board. So, did you move on? You've moved on. Now he said, then you've moved on. You are welcome on board. Come on, say transition. God is taking you to the next level so that you don't always see God as a magical supply of some things. You see, Jesus was talking in Matthew 6. He said, why do you worry about what you eat? What you drink? What you wear? Now listen to what he said. He says, your Father in heaven knows that you need these. And these are the things that the pagans are also after. Then he continued, therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is inviting somebody for the next step. You are going to feel challenged in your Christian walk. He's inviting you to move from just magical expectations. And that is why many of us want prophets to talk to us. Prophet, look at my palm and talk to me. Prophet, talk to me. I want to hear God. If you come to me like that, I will tell you what God wants to hear. I look at your face. I see that I know you. I'll tell you that I can see that some danger is ahead. Hey, man of God. I say, I put down the seed. Put the seed down. When you put the seed, the thing will go. You put it down. You don't know how to move in the Lord. God wants them to stop that. That's the first thing. Come on, say transition. Say it again. Say it again. For the last time. Do you know why God punished John the Baptist's father? And yet did not punish Mary? Mary, theologians believe it's between 13 to about 15 years when the angel appeared to Mary and said, you have a child. She was a minor. And yet, John the Baptist's father was a chief priest. He has entered the Holy of Holies not once, not twice. And that year, it was his time to enter the Holy of Holies. They see things Mary doesn't see. When I mess up, the measuring rod God will use in dealing with me is different from an ordinary member. There are levels and dimensions in God. And God is telling them that move to the next dimension. I decree in the name of Jesus that you are moving to the next level. So don't stay at the same place. You are moving. Listen, these days, when I pray and I don't get answer, I don't bother. If you are putting your hands together, put it together and get a bullet. I don't bother. Now, do you know why I don't bother? Because I am walking with him. Oh, my goodness. I am walking with him. So when I pray and he hasn't given me an answer, I don't worry. Some theologians and preachers tell you that when you pray and you don't get answer, keep on. It raises anxiety in you. But if you know that the Lord knows that you need this, Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. You will not bother. Keep praying. The Bible says in Luke 18:1, it says, men ought to pray always without being faint. It didn't say men ought to pray always and expect an answer. And if they don't get the answer, they should go back. When you pray, pray. If it answers you, hallelujah. If it doesn't answer you, move on. Because God wants to bring you to a place of grace. You are coming to a place of grace. But look at the second reason why God stopped giving them manna. And that's what we read in chapter 5 of Joshua and verse 12. Let me read again. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. Listen carefully to that. The day they ate the produce on the land. What does it mean? Now it gives room for very plausible reasonings. How do you eat the produce of a land if you have not sowed on the land? A man reaps what he sows. Now, by this time, they hadn't actually entered into all the occupied territories. In fact, they were at the eastern part of Jordan. And by this time, they were about to take over Jericho. It was at the place where the guys were circumcised that they named the place Gilgal. So they were at that place. And the Bible said they sold, because Jericho was one of the nations they must take. And they hadn't taken Jericho yet, because Jericho was at the border of these nations. But when they settled or encamped was part of the land God had given to the people. And then they sold on the land. And the Bible says, as soon as they ate the fruit of the land, the manna stopped. The manna stopped. Now, what does it mean? Listen to the last part of it. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. Let me stay here for the next 5 minutes. And I'm just breaking it practically for you now. What have you sowed in your life? Every action of yours is a seed. Every human action, every human thought is a seed. Don't look at seeds as the reproductive part of a plant. No. A seed is anything that you can turn out for a result. That's a seed. So thoughts are seeds. Actions are seeds. Inactions are seeds. Now, if you sit here and you tell me that you don't want to study, so you just sit down anyhow when it's examination time, you are joking, you go to the forest and pray and pray and pray and fast and fast and fast. Keep doing that. But you are sowing a seed. You are sowing a seed. When they give you school fees, go and buy a book. So this one, it can wait. I believe God. Angels can open my mind and place the knowledge in there. Angels, open my mind, open my mind. Keep doing it. It's a seed. It's a seed. If you want to be in the room and keep only prayer, I don't want to go out. I am calling on the forces of redemption. Let them bring me my grace. Let them bring me my men. Keep doing that. It's a seed we are sowing. We are sowing a seed. If you go to the workplace and then somebody wants to come and buy something and you meet the person with, you are in a marriage. And you behave anyhow in the marriage. And yet you want the marriage to work. And you say, my marriage is not working. But you are sowing a seed in the marriage. It's a seed. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep disrespecting your husband. Keep disrespecting your wife. Keep messing up your children. Whatever a man soweth, that he shall reap.
And many people have missed this lesson. The lesson of seed sowing. God was retiring the miraculous to engage their labor. Because you see, human labor is part of kingdomnomics. Human labor is part of kingdom rule. It is God's order and plan that you must sow, you must work, you must labor, you must give something out, you must plant, you must reap. It is part of kingdom practice. They must sow on the land.
Man of God, you know, I was going to go to school, but I realized that no, I don't have to go. So I get up in the morning and I go and stand in the street and I preach. You know, I'm doing God's kingdom business and I'm trusting God. Now God will open the door for me. Keep doing it. You are sowing a seed. Keep doing it.
Anything you sow is a seed. You go to the workplace and you work anyhow. You don't know what to work and work extra. And when I was listening to Emily on Thursday, he says, 100% or excellence goes beyond 100%. Excellence is more than 100%. When you say you have excelled, it means you have gone beyond the measure. So if you are doing within 100, you are staying within the status quo. That is all you are doing. And many of us stay within the status quo. It's a seed. If we are looking for somebody who has excelled, they won't come for you. They will go for the person who has stayed within but broken the limit. He's broken the limit. He's gone beyond one level. The people must sow. In your education, you are sowing a seed. In relating well to people, you are sowing a seed. If you disrespect human beings, you are sowing a seed. If you mess up your children today, you are sowing a seed. If you mess up your wife today, you are sowing a seed. If you mess up your husband today, you are sowing a seed. If you don't want to give offering in church, you are sowing a seed. If you work at some place and you go to work all the time late, you are sowing a seed. If you work with people and disrespect them, you are sowing a seed. Do not be mocked. Do not be mocked. You cannot mock God. Whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. So God wants them to sow. And so the manna will stop. Let me tell you, you are coming to a place in your life where you are expecting some things to happen, and God will never let them happen, because God is expecting you to cause the seed to fall to the ground. And when the seeds fall to the ground and they die, they will begin to bear fruit. I decree upon you, anybody who has sown the seed, and the seed is about to fructify and come alive in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let every seed that you sowed, which is yet to bear fruit, let them begin to come alive, because they are dying in the soil. And sometimes you are tired. You say, Lord, I have sowed and nothing is happening. Let me tell you, every seed that is sown, and sown with the right motive, and sown with the right thought, and sown with the right intention, I see your seeds coming alive. You will eat the produce of the land. If you believe that, come on, tap your feet on the ground, clap your hands, and give God a praise, because the seed is coming alive. The seed is coming along.
Yes.
Come on, say so. Tell a friend, so. I can't hear you. One more time. Do you know that if you get up in the morning at dawn and you are working and breaking your back and working, and then you feel the pain, it's a seed. I know it. And I'm telling you, it's a seed. You are sowing a seed. You are in that particular relationship and you are doing everything to make it work. You are sowing a seed. You are sowing a seed. When the people could cultivate, God withdrew the miraculous. So you must understand the place of the miraculous. The miraculous is a supernatural intervention in a hopeless situation. Listen carefully to that. The miraculous is a supernatural intervention in a hopeless situation. What you can do will never become a miraculous agenda for God. Listen to me well. What you can do will never become a miraculous agenda for God. Now listen carefully. God will not come to you and pick you and say, yeah, let's go. Let's go and learn. Let's go and study. Then he's carrying you. Then he put you down. He say, Do you want him to go and pick the book for you? He said, ah, Holy Ghost, go and bring the book. Then he will come. This is the book. Which page do you want to open? And he opens the page. No! God doesn't do that. Hello? Am I teaching good? God doesn't do that. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Pastor is teaching good. God doesn't do that. Tell him. God doesn't do that. This magical expectations that all of us have, where you have to rise and do that thing and say, God, no, he won't do it. He won't do it. So understand the place of labor. Tell somebody, understand the place of labor. One more time. For the last time. Now, I have very interesting views about issues. I have. That is why some time ago, we say we were praying for Akosombo Dam. I got angry. Akosombo Dam. God gave us this dam years ago. Let us not think that natural resources will last forever. God is expecting us that even when we want to, open up and flow the excess, we have to find a mechanism of engaging the excesses. And then we call and say, let's pray for Akosombo Dam. I've stopped praying. That kind of prayer. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No. When a business is not doing well, first is to do analysis. What is happening there? For many of us, when your business is failing, my enemies are at it again. They come to my business and they come and mess it up. No! That is why this day we are doing business analytics. We are doing science. We are gathering data. Many of us don't want data. We don't want data to talk. Hey, no. Hey, this is the Holy Ghost to do. Hey, Holy Ghost will not do that. Tell a friend, Holy Ghost will not do that. Tell him ahead, this is for you. Tell him, this is for you. And look at who is managing the business. What is your human, resource skill? How do they relate with people? Customer service skill. Let me tell you, I went to a place to go and buy something. And I'll go there again. No demon influenced me. No angel influence. A lady, a gentleman, a human being seated there. The attitude was something. I love it. I'll go there again. And I also went to a place to go and buy something. But no, I'll never go there again. Even if you carry me on a truck in a chain, I'll come out and run away. I won't go there. Human attitude at its worst. Have you received something? Come on, say manna. I can't hear you. Say manna. Come on, say manna. I can't hear you. Believers don't really appreciate labor. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, may the Lord bless the works of our hands. Now, if you don't have any job your hand is doing, how do you get blessed? The problem for the church in Africa is that we want God to create jobs for us instead of we creating it and asking God, bless the works of our hands. A manna will stop in your life. And when a manna stops in your life, don't say that I am in a lean season. God is inviting you to change the way you are thinking. Change the way you are feeling. Your work, you are doing a particular job. Suddenly, it's not going well. Change! Don't say that the enemies have come. No enemy! If a man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are gone. Behold, all things have become new. Why do you have this kind of mentality and thinking? The manna will stop. You are a young lady. Believing God to settle down. Your attitude so bad. You don't respect the young men. You treat them anyhow. You talk anyhow. You behave anyhow. You have no sense of humility. No man will come your way. Please look for angels and marry them. I'm telling you. Because all those actions are seeds. You want to go to bed and say, Father, I command and conjure. I declare by the seven spirit of God. Really, the seven spirit of God, they are needed for something else. They are not needed for arranging marriages for you. Lord, bring me my man. Please, let your actions bring your man. Let your behavior bring your man. Let your attitudes bring your man. Are you clapping gold? Let it bring the man. If you behave well, the man will come. And I've seen men too like that. You behave anyhow. Talk to young ladies anyhow. You don't respect a young lady. When you meet them, you feel so pompous. You feel so arrogant. You feel that, you know, I'm the man. You know, thank God I've come your way. No lady will love you. You can come their way and they'll take you off their way. Hello? And then you can say, I can't get the lady to marry. Change your behavior. Nobody is marrying you as a demon or as an angel. They are marrying a human being who can open up and think. Remember, every action of yours is a seed. The manna will stop. And then God is inviting you to the next level. And remember, God will not only give you the miraculous. God will bring you labor. He wants you to work with your hands. He wants to bless the works of your hands. So put your hands to the wheel. Go out there. Labor. Break your back. Come and pray. Thank God for the opening of the doors. Go out there again. Look for the job. Go for it. Are you pushing truck? Are you selling tomatoes? Go at it. Do whatever you are doing well. The power of Christianity is to carry the grace of God into spaces and ask the Lord to multiply and bring grace upon us. I'd like you to understand that one of these days, God will rudely intervene in your life. And if you haven't yet gotten to that place, get ready for it. Because you are sitting on the fence all the time believing and hoping that manna will come from heaven. Please, the manna has stopped. Go to school. Acquire the knowledge. Go for the training. Acquire the skill. When they say they are putting things together for you, go attend the seminar. Don't deny yourself of the seminars. Attend the seminars. Attend the seminars and go for them. Go for the symposium. Go and add value. When you are in bed and you are on your phone, don't only watch movies. Don't only watch very funny videos. Go there and read books. Download books on your cell phone and tablet and read them. Challenge yourself. Go beyond what you learn in school. Many of us have stayed in what we were taught in a classroom. I left that place long time ago. And for your information, success left the classroom more than 1,000 years ago. Those who go to school don't necessarily become successful. But those who have good attitude and they know how to sow and they know how to labor and they know how to tell the Lord that this is what I'm looking for, they are those who succeed. I know that you are trusting God and believing God that I want to get this, and you only pray and you don't act. You only fast and you don't act. You only declare and you don't act. Declarations don't mean anything. Prayer don't mean anything. Fasting don't mean anything. The only thing they mean is that after prayer, you must act. After fasting, you must act. After declaration, you must act. Every action of yours is a seed. And in the name of he that died and laid in the grave, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I declare upon your head, yes, receive the wisdom, yes, receive the knowledge, yes, receive the power,
yes,
receive the ability, yes, to know how to sow,
yes,
and when to sow,
yes,
receive what it takes,
yes,
to know how to act,
yes,
and when to act.
Yes,
I want you to appreciate that there is a labor in the kingdom. There is a part of God that is watching you and is not acting. That is not only one dimension. You are at the first level. Go to the second level. Go to the third level. Go to the fourth level. Go to the fifth level. Go to the sixth level. At least the Bible said, if there is any man in Israel, I speak to them
in riddles and I speak to them in revelation and visions. That is one level. But he said, not so with my servant Moses. I speak to him. He says, face to face. It means that there are levels. So you can be at a place of revelations and visions, but you must go to face to face. I decree upon you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know there's a young man here and there's a young lady here. God is asking you, it's about time you took the step, but fear is gripping you. Your own attitude is gripping you. It's stampeding you from taking that step and moving forward. Your manner is stopping from today. God is inviting you into a dimension. And when the manner stops, don't cry. God is about to see that the land flowing with milk and honey must also be cultivated. There must be seed on the land because there's a blessing on the land. But hey, Tawheed, how do we know there's a blessing on the land? We cannot test it. We can only test the blessing on the land when we place the seed on the land. When we place the seed on the land, then you can see there's a blessing on the land. You see, you are a blessing, but you never know that you're a blessing until you begin to work out the seed inside your soul. And then you will see that blessing is coming out of your inside. There is something seated inside of you, but you have stayed there at the same place. I decree, shake your body, shake your heart, shake your mind, shake your soul, and get to the next level, because God is about to take you to the next level. It's a transition and it's a liberty. I have a vision. In that vision, I see every member here is an agent of change. That is a vision.
Yes, sir.
I see that, prof, they are at work.
Oh.
That is a vision.
Yes, sir.
If you forgot anything, don't forget this. That God will suspend the miracles to engage your labor. Because your labor must not be an affront to the miracles. If you keep on expecting the miracles all the time, there are doors, next week I'll teach you, that must open for you without your own energy. But there are doors that will only open when you knock. Next week we'll take that. So some doors will not open until you knock the door. But there are some doors, when you get there, they will open on their own accord. I decree grace upon you. Shalom. Peace. And life to you. Come on, put your hands together and give God a praise.